your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Space Chat. David.
Hey, you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, you know, look, we've got a pretty cool job, to be honest, mate, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah, well, shame you can't get out and do a bit of surfing in the lockdown. Mm.
Well, I don't surf at all, but I'm glad that I put that vibe off. Thank you.
Now, David, a new Earthbound asteroid has been discovered by two schoolgirls. And just quickly, before we get into it, Earthbound, does that mean it's going to, like, come crashing into Earth?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Johnny, it's always good when I hear or can realize you've done your independent research.
Mm-hmm. You know, we read your email that you send us.
Yes, but I never mentioned anything about Earthbound. That was in a different article. Mm-hmm. And that was, I deliberately didn't mention that. That's misleading, the term Earthbound.
Yes.
It's Mars bound, if anything. In other words, its orbit is close to Mars's orbit. So it's actually what's called a Mars crosser. So it crosses Mars' orbit. So it goes a bit further away from the Sun than Mars and a bit closer than Mars. But the two never meet. Mm-hmm. Their orbits don't actually intersect.
Have the schoolgirls given it, like, a schoolgirl name?
Not allowed to yet. So these two schoolgirls are Indian. They were taking part in the Citizen Science Project. Mm-hmm. So they didn't look through a telescope or anything like that. What this involves is looking through astronomical data that already exists. And so they were looking through data from telescopes in Hawaii and in Arizona at images of the sky. So if there's going to be something out there, like an asteroid, it's going to be much closer than a star. So if you take a photo of exactly the same star field night after night after night after night, if there's something out there closer, it's going to move across that field of view in front of those stars.
I see.
And that's how many thousands of these asteroids are discovered. That's the prime way of finding these days. So that information is actually gone through by computer using algorithms, but also by citizens, including these two young Indian schoolgirls. It just so happens that these girls got lucky and were able to spot this asteroid before the algorithms that are used by the researchers' computers could narrow down to it. And the reason for that is quite interesting, that the telescope you've got to take photographs over huge areas of sky, and you can't do that with a single photo. You've got to take overlapping images. Mm-hmm. Now, where they overlap, that seam, it blocks out certain parts of the sky in every image. And so it takes longer if something is appearing in that sort of join. It takes longer for the algorithm to find them. And these girls actually found it in that join, basically.
Okay.
So it's got a designation that's called 2020 OE6 at the moment. So these girls, because they did discover it before the algorithm, they'll have the chance to name the asteroid down the track. But at the moment, OE6 is it's based on the month, so each half a month is given a letter up to Y, so it's 24 IMZ are emitted, and then the second letter is the order within the month. So if there's any more than 25 discovered in the month, they start using numbers. So they have it. There's a system for discovering, for naming these asteroids.
No Y or Z.
The letter I and Z are not used in the first one, and I is omitted in the second one,
okay.
Just to make sure there's no confusion with J, I think, is the main thing, and Z simply not used in the first part of the system. But these girls, they can name it down the track and have that all sorted with the International Astronomical Union, who name all the objects in the solar system. But they won't be able to name it after themselves.
Oh,
that's
damn it.
Not allowed.
Damn.
So the only way to get around that is for someone else to, that they know, to discover an asteroid, and then they name it each other's asteroid for themselves.
Oh, they can name it after their mum or something.
You get around it that way. Mm. Yeah, the only other time a person was given the name of the one that they discovered was an American lady. She was the asteroid she discovered was given her name, but she died just after discovering it.
Okay, so it's maybe a morbid solution there for the young
girls. An accident. So, yeah, you can't give yourself the name. Well, she didn't, but it was given to her by
posthumously
other people after she died. Yeah. Mm.
Now, Rocket Lab planning a mission to Venus to look for signs of life in Venus's clouds.
Rocket Lab going to Venus?
That's crazy. Why would there be life in a cloud?
Well, that comes down to Peter.
Have you not seen Care Bears, you maniac?
Their leader, Peter Beck, he's a bit of a maniac as far as Venus goes. He's always, I don't think he necessarily preferred it over Mars, but he's certainly very passionate about the possibilities at Venus.
Yes.
So what he can see there is Venus, he describes as Earth in a climate change disaster, which is true. In the past, the beginning of the solar system, Venus would have been a lot cooler and most likely did have quite a bit of water on its surface and could well have had life. Not now, that has all been evaporated and the atmosphere now is much thicker than Earth, 90 times thicker than Earth's atmosphere, and the temperature never gets below about 450 degrees Celsius, and it's just a hellish environment. But some people think that if there was life in the past, it might have survived in the atmosphere, floating around. Up about 50 kilometres altitude, it's a lot cooler. Temperatures and pressures there are similar to what's on the Earth's surface. So what he's looking for are private investors and so on to put a mission together to go to Venus in 2023.
Have we ever sent anything to the clouds of Venus before to have a look around? Would this be a first?
Yeah, a number of spacecraft have passed through the clouds on the way to the surface. But the idea here is to send a probe, shall we say, to spend a bit more time in the atmosphere. So the aim of the mission is not to get to the surface. The aim is to examine the atmosphere and spend as much time doing that as possible. So it's slightly different. And, of course, the other thing here is this would be a private mission. So this is really to try and show that private people can actually go out into the solar system and make a contribution.
Nice. Now, David, the next story you're going to help me with the pronunciation of the name of this radio telescope.
Arecibo.
Arecibo. Now, that has been damaged.
It has. It has. It's the largest radio telescope for many, many years. It was opened in 1963. It's been eclipsed by a Chinese radio telescope that's bigger. It came online in 2016. But yeah, this one in Puerto Rico is 300 meters across. That's pretty big. It has been damaged. So although it's 300 meters in diameter, you have a 100 meter gash. Sorry, 100 feet. A 30 meter gash, sorry. It's the trouble with these articles out of America, 100 feet. Mm. Yeah, 30 meter gash. It's a bit of a hole in things, and was caused by a broken cable. So it's really not so much the missing panels, which really doesn't degrade the quality of the data too much. it's this broken cable. So they need to establish why it broke and fix it and make sure that no other cables are going to do the same thing.
Somebody's getting fired.
So that's the main problem at this point.
I guess it's an old piece of equipment, 1963. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it has a proper maintenance schedule, but and they did have to repair it after Hurricane Maria damaged it in 2017. So yeah, it's pretty hardy. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of metal and strong bits to it.
Sturdy. Now, David Britton, what's happening in the night sky at the moment?
A new moon.
Well, tomorrow night is new moon, so don't try and go and look out for it. You won't see it. But it will be in the low after sunset, sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it'll be a very thin crescent out in the west on the 21st, 2nd and 23rd. Might be a good photo op if people want to get some nice photos of the thin crescent moon there. Also after sunset over the other side of the sky in the east, Jupiter and Saturn in the east and up, more mist above our heads is Scorpius. So nice skies just at the moment. Of course, we had lovely skies over the last few days. I don't know if you're able to get out and have a look at the lovely dark sky that we've had in Auckland here. Gone to pot now, of course.
Some nice day skies, actually, I was enjoying.
Make the most of it when it's there is always the mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in the morning, there's no cloud around. Venus is still there for a while, just sort of hanging there, low in the east before sunrise. Above that, you've got the Pleiades, Taurus, Orion, and Sirius. Pleiades, of course, is Mata Riki. And Mars, just above those, around and over the northwest. So, yeah, still plenty of things to see up in the sky. And, you know, you don't have to have a perfectly clear sky to see Venus. It's very, very bright, and you can actually see it through cloud if it's not too thick.
Did you get out the other night and check out the meteor shower?
The Perseids? No, I didn't. They're a bit hit and miss. I mean, they're more a northern sky meteor shower. I tend to pick and choose what I go out into the cold.
Yeah, what you get up at 3 in the morning for.
Yeah, I'm not quite so hardy as I used to be.
Fair enough. And anything on at the Stardome? I guess we're kind of on hold at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, it's not open at the moment, so all fingers crossed that maybe the government will change the alert level earlier than next week, maybe later this week. There's nothing happening at the observatory, but, you know, the social media, there's still posts being put up there, what's going on around the world of space and astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, the normal social media, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Check out those, and as soon as the alert level is dropped, you know, the observatory will be open again with wide open arms, I'm sure.
Easy. Sounds like a plan.
Absolutely, yeah. Everyone's looking forward to that, of course, aren't they?
Well, to get outside the house again. It's generally the case, yeah. Hey, thank you so much, David. It's always a pleasure.
Not a problem. I just hope that, as I said, in 2 weeks' time, that we will be back up and running at Stardome and have plenty of shows and things for people to go and see there. And, of course, the telescopes to look through it. I mean, if people have already bought their telescopes, maybe they'll be doing this at home, that they are sold at the observatory as well, of course. So people can be outside using those.
Something to do.
Good practice, and while we don't have to be so busy on a normal day.
Right on. Okay, mate, we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it.
Easy.
Cheers, mate.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.